We're cruising pretty quickly through this week, and in our discussion here on God Is, we left off yesterday talking about four ways in which God rules over and can use sin in the lives of believers. And by believers, I mean Christians. Now, it's very important that you remember God is not the originator of sin. Sin does not come from God. Sin comes from the devil, but God can still use it for his purposes. That's how in charge God is over everything in the universe, including sin. This whole conversation will lead us to the biblical conclusion, God is the ruler. Satan's got nothing on God. God is far more powerful than Satan ever was or ever will be. We're talking about how God rules over sin for the benefit of the believer, and yesterday we talked about the first two ways. Let me remind you what these are, and then we will proceed. First, God rules over and can use sin to preserve his own people. Joseph is our example. Second, God rules over and can use sin to test his own people. Job is our example. And now's a good time to remind you that yesterday's episode is also a podcast from the WEZE website. So if this is your first time on God Is, welcome. And or if you missed yesterday, please go and take a listen. You missed a lot. The WEZE website is 590amtheword.com. God Is will be available for download free of charge under the podcast link. Let's dig in for today. The third way God rules over and can use sin is to strengthen his own people against temptation. Temptation is a reality for all of us. What are you most tempted by? Do not say chocolate. We have to take this far more seriously. What sin do you find so appealing that you can, in your own strength and by your own willpower, hardly avoid? Well, in your own strength and willpower is not the right way to avoid sin, so let's be accurate. That temptation which even by the power of the Holy Spirit within you, who you lean on, is still difficult to overcome. That reoccurring temptation, daily, hourly, by the minute. Do you know that that can be used by God to actually strengthen you? And notice I said the temptation can strengthen you. I did not use the word sin. Let me be very clear, and I pray you will remember I said this. God does not bring the temptation to you, but God can use the temptation for your good. God never tempts us to sin. Satan tempts us to sin. Listen carefully to James 1, verse 13. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. Did you hear that loud and clear? God himself does not tempt anyone. But temptation is a very common experience for all people, including the Christian. To be human is to be tempted by the devil. Listen now to the key text from which I derive my point. The Apostle Paul writes this to the Corinthian believers in 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also so that you will be able to endure it. That is 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. That is one very encouraging text, but it is so often misunderstood and therefore misused by Christians. Again, I could spend a week here, but notice the key marks. First, the temptation itself is not sin. Temptation does not overtake you. You are not tempted beyond what you are able to say no to. You will be able to endure it. That means that you will not sin by the temptation. You need to know this. Temptation itself is not sin. Let me give you an example. You're in a conversation with a friend who's dropping some juicy nuggets of gossip about another person. There is your temptation to gossip right back. You love to talk about other people. But instead, you tell your friend you've got to go. You say nothing about that other person. By God's grace, you have successfully resisted the temptation, not sin, to gossip, which is sin. Second, Notice the text says, God is faithful. God is at work here. He is doing a ministry of protection from sin. He has so overruled sin that he makes the devil ineffective. God is faithful. Do not miss those key words that tell us so much about who God is in this one verse. And then the third key in 1 Corinthians 10:13, with the temptation, God will provide a way of escape also. Notice, with the temptation, God will provide the escape. My friends, God rules over and can use sin to strengthen his own people against sin. Isn't that amazing? Sin is bearing down on us, but God will not allow the temptation to overtake us. He somehow uses the temptation to provide the way of escape. Temptations come to us from Satan to destroy us by luring us into sin, but God uses the temptation differently. He commands it and turns it into a warning system that drives us to him to plead, "Have mercy on me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Rescue me from Satan." Temptations drive us to Jesus, simply to the cross I cling, to quote the great hymn, Rock of Ages. If you and I will take the way of escape, and we must take the way out if we are to avoid sin, if we will follow Christ, we will not sin. Now, of course, if we do not follow the escape route, we will sin. It's like being in a fire in a building. If you take the fire escape, you survive. If you refuse, you will surely die. Wow, do you see how what Satan intends for destruction, God turns around for the demonstration of his sovereign charge over sin? I love God. What awesome power and divine authority he has over everything and over everyone. And fourth and finally, God rules over and can use sin so that his own people will further glorify him. The Westminster Shorter Catechism asks, what is the chief end of man? And it answers, man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. And by the use of man here, in the much older document, it means people, man and woman. And it's exactly right. God is to be glorified, honored, and highly respected by all of us. This is why we are here, to worship him with our whole being. And God desires that we glorify him. God is a jealous God, jealous for his own fame. And the classical biblical example of God having so ruled sin that he uses it to glorify himself is Pharaoh in ancient Egypt. I have two scriptures for you on this point. The first is in the Old Testament and the second is in the New Testament. Listen to Exodus chapter 7 and verse 3. This is God speaking. But I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that I may multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. Now, when we read this passage and others like it in detail, we will learn that when God says he hardens Pharaoh's heart, it is not that God puts sin in the Egyptian ruler's heart. Sin is not from God. Satan tempted Pharaoh to sin, and Pharaoh sinned. Pharaoh is responsible for his own sin. But what God does is to say, okay, Pharaoh, you do not want to bow before me and honor me. You want to glorify yourself. Then what I will do is to harden that sin-sick heart, and I will use your sin for my purposes. That's what God does. If you are under the false assumption that God made the Pharaoh sin against the Israelites, that God somehow inserted the sin in his life, then you have not read the true story in any detail. You do not correctly understand what God did. That's why we have to gain a proper understanding of the Bible. But again, this goes a little bit beyond my point for today, which is this. Notice what God says. He's going to use Pharaoh's sin to do what? To multiply my signs and my wonders. And when you read the rest of the story, this is exactly what God does so that people will glorify God. Pharaoh, like all earthly kings, princes, And yes, presidents are nothing but a tool in the hand of Almighty God. If that leader does not honor and glorify God, then they are under the judgment of God. The Lord does this. He humbles the prideful in order that God take his rightful place as the one and only King of the world. Consider also Romans chapter 9 and verse 17. For the scripture says to Pharaoh, "For this very purpose I raised you up, to demonstrate my power in you, and that my name might be proclaimed throughout the whole earth." That is Romans 9, 17. Aha! There it is again. God raised up Pharaoh to demonstrate God's power and to demonstrate that God's name must be proclaimed where? Throughout the whole earth. By the way, this is why everyone needs to just settle down in this country. Love or hate the current or past president, just remember this. God is ruler. Look to God. Worship God and glorify God. Be obsessed with the living and almighty God. Do not spend so much time worrying about who is president or spending time getting someone elected or investing all this money in this and that candidate. Listen, you followers of Christ, give all your time and all your money and all your emphasis to God, to the God of the universe. God is the ruler, yet the Lord reigns. And with that proclamation, we end today. But I want to invite you to come back tomorrow and join me for more of God Is.